Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast. It's Brad. I got Greg here. We are back for another episode, episode 6 of our season 2, as we continue through our journey of becoming better golfers, getting in shape as we train for golf. And we are going to do a couple different things today, but let's do a quick check-in. Greg, how are you?
I tell you what, it's been a crappy weekend here at my house. I mean, I got, yeah. I will say this, it's very fitting. We got Jen's Cup coming up. Like, I feel like this whole weekend was like day 2, day 3 of a 4-day golf trip where basically everybody is just pooping themselves, throwing up, and not feeling the greatest.
Now hold on. Let's make sure everyone knows we are talking about your kids here. We're not.
Yes. That was not me. But yes, I've been changing a lot of diapers, cleaning up a lot of throw up, and it's been and bleaching the entire house to make sure that we don't get it.
I know it's been rough. You've been filling me in off and on about everything that's going on, and I feel bad for not only you but for them as well. They're going through it. But hey, better this weekend than next weekend.
That is true. 100%. I'd rather knock it out this weekend and be around than leave it to the Lord to handle while I was gone.
Yeah. So hopefully everything starts progressing in the right direction and not too many issues from here on out. But I know golf wise, we really don't have too much to talk about. So let's talk fitness wise. Let's talk workouts. I will say I have not been able to get on the golf course, but I have been able to get in the gym, and I don't know, been feeling pretty good so far. I know I've been hooked on your end range workout. Actually got some of my kids doing it in the weight room classes.
It's a game changer.
And I like it. It takes
some getting used to it.
It does, because you do have to remember, one, that you are trying to get to that max range. And then two, finding that weight to really make it worthwhile to get down to that range.
You got to play with it.
Yeah, play with it. So, but I've enjoyed it. It's a couple things have been allowing me to get kind of heavy on them. Some of them, they're very good stretches at the same time. So I've been feeling pretty good. Obviously, you have to adapt a little bit to my gym, but it's been solid. Still get my runs in. Doing about, during the week, it's about 3 to 4 miles a day, probably closer to 3.
Wow.
But on the weekend, I will tell you right now, if I'm in my house for 30 minutes, it's a long time. We are all over the place. I think between Friday night to Sunday night, we had 12 contests and one practice that we took care of. And
good Lord.
The only one that was close was I got my oldest is starting junior PGA golf. And so she did get to her practice after her softball tournament. She was at all day. So she was able to get over there. She does have her first. Right here at Stone Lee. So it's close. There's 3 teams. It's pretty cool. It's three whole matches that they'll end up playing. Her first actual competition is next week.
Three whole matches. Good Lord.
Yeah. So you can play up to 9 holes. It's partner based, team based. So it's a scramble with her and a partner, and they'll kind of base them off of, you know, maybe a less experienced, more experienced, you know, kind of, I don't want to say handicap because they don't have handicaps. And then she could play one match for 3 holes and then switch either playing partners or switch competitors for like 3 more holes. But most of them play 6 holes. Sometimes she'll get to play the whole 9 holes because she is one of the like older players, but you know, this is the first time competitive golf. So it's pretty exciting. She's enjoyed it. They actually wear jerseys. They get their name on the back. They relate it to like the Little League of golf.
Do you throw a bib on with the last name on the back and walk around and follow her?
She does have to walk.
Full white suit.
She just has to walk and carry the bag. She wasn't thrilled about that. And they didn't get carts. But I was like, yeah, your partner might be in fourth grade. It might be a little bit tough to drive around. So, but no, so unfortunately, I do miss the first match next week as we're out of town. But I'm hoping to be there, at least a couple. It does end up baseball is right around the same time on Sundays. So, but she's excited. Gets her out there with me at some time. So, but how are you? How's the workouts been going? I know you've been in the... been pretty much crushing it like you always are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sticking to the mile a day for Monday through Saturdays. You know, I will say this Saturday, I end up doing technically two Sunday runs because just with Brody ending up in the ER and me having to stay home with the daughter to make sure she was safe in the house, I ended up doing my Saturday run at 1 a.m. on Sunday. And then
ends when you put your head down.
Exactly. And then came home, slept for a couple hours, kids got up. I got them kind of settled, let Laura sleep in a little bit. And then when they went down for a nap, I went for a nice longest run I've had pretty much in a long time. I can't tell you the last time I ran 7.25 miles.
I have not
stretched
that distance in probably a couple of weeks. I'm usually pretty good. And you've seen me, I tell you, I'm about a 5 miler here and there. And then maybe once in a while, I'll stretch it out to a 10K. But I need to start increasing. My mornings are just slammed. And then when by the time I get home, I don't have a lot of time.
But I'm still averaging pretty much 6 workouts a week as far as lifts and then 7 runs and... You know, some of them will be super fast, hard runs. Other ones are kind of easy, throttle back, you know, run at sub 8, but
yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah. And as far as golf goes, I know we've both been fairly busy with golf. We are with everything else that hasn't got us on the golf course. If you've seen our social media, I know you posted a nice little practice video of yourself getting some putting,
to the range three mornings last week, but I only got to hit balls actually on the range twice. The third day I was going to go, ended up being the range closed. And then Friday ended up being a morning staff meeting that I had to attend. So,
yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you, the chipping and putting probably you get more out of the pounding of the golf balls anyway. So,
and I get my 5 iron back by Wednesday or Thursday. So
might be time for new clubs. If that thing keeps breaking, that could be the omen. That's telling.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just too strong. Probably not.
I got a range session in. I did a chipping and putting session with the little guy last week. I did squeak in 9 holes after school today.
Nice.
I played it in about an hour and 20 minutes. If you call what I did playing golf, I hit a lot of just shots. I hit 2 off the tee. I did start playing like I was going to play worse ball. But I was watching my watch and I had to get moving. So it was, I kind of did hit 2 off the tee and kind of just played each ball in. I couldn't even tell you what I scored. I did not really hit it that well. I didn't really feel that well. The hips hurt a little bit. I don't know if it was just a long day. So I can't say I took a lot of good vibes.
Like you were in a car a lot this weekend too. So it could be that.
It was. So, but it was nice to be out there. I'm hoping to sneak out Wednesday. Looks like it's our first actually day off since we've been back from spring break as far as events. So I'm hoping to get, I mean, I could get home fast enough. I could get 18 in with the light, but we'll see how crowded the course is and the weather and everything. So, I can't say I'm feeling the best swing wise going into Gents Club, but I'm definitely looking forward just to get out there with the guys and going from there. So, we'll talk a little bit about golf trips because that's something we do have a big passion for, but let's play the numbers game. One thing that I wanted to do with Greg is, you know, we've talked about goals that we have, not only fitness, but we'll talk about a lot about our golf goals. And one of my golf goals is to shoot a even par or below round. And shout out to our friend Valdez, who was able to put up a sub 70 round.
69.
That's impressive.
Even more impressive, the fact that he had that it wasn't all pars. It was an eagle four or five birdies. And which means he had some bogeys in there.
I honestly, I think that's the way to do it. I don't know if I could ever put up 17, 18 cards.
I'd like a clean scorecard. I don't care if I had an even par round and it was 18 pars. I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care. I'm just thinking of factual that how hard that would be. So,
I would like a double or a triple or a quad on there, and then come back and shoot under par.
So mine was obviously the even par or subpar round, and yours is to get into the 70s. But the other part of it is that it's the lower handicap. I mean, I think both of us probably have dreams to be scratch golfers. I don't know if I'll ever get there. Yeah. I mean, this is not our full-time job. This is something, just the passion that we have. Almost an obsession that we have, to play. But we want to be, we want to be sticks. We want to be able to play. So, I've always talked about trying to lower my handicap to below a three, and stay there. And you've talked about getting yours down to a single digit.
Single digit. Give me a 9.9. I'd be happy.
And then hopefully we get back to playing head to head matches where it's we're playing straight up all the way through. I mean, that's something we both have a passion. I do think we can get to those points. It's just going to, I think we're realizing how hard it is. And I did some research today.
I'm going in the opposite direction again this year. So,
it's up and down, but I did some research today and I wanted to learn a little bit more about the handicap system. I mean, I think a lot of times when people hear handicap, they think that's kind of like what you're supposed to shoot. So for example, if I'm a five handicap on a par 72 golf course, they think I should shoot a 77. And that's not always the case. Now we both know, and we've talked a lot about slope and rating of courses and how some courses are more difficult than other courses. And that's why you may be a five handicap, at an Algonquin, but you're really, when you go to like a Blue Ridge Shadows, you're like a seven or eight handicap because just the difficulty of the course, does. But one thing I've been really looking at is handicap and your index. And obviously, how do you find out your index? And so I'm going to read something off the USGA here. And it actually has a really nice, it says in 150 words or less. All right. It tells you self, because otherwise I think you can get long winded.
I'm going to count them in my head.
Your handicap index is a portable number that represents or demonstrated your golfing ability. It is based on your past scores relative to the difficulty of the course and the tees you played, as well as playing conditions during each round, which we have seen how when we put it in, it can adjust it. So to calculate your handicap index, your eight best scores, score differentials from your most recent 20 rounds are averaged. In addition, safeguards that are included. Now, there are a couple. They talk about these safeguards. They don't want you to move up too fast, and they also don't want you to move down too fast. And it just kind of gives you some examples of that. But
that up too fast has really protected me.
Well, what that would mean is like you can't go up more than like four or five full numbers. And that's probably more for your tournament golfers, that your sandbaggers, that all of a sudden they're playing as threes, and then they go into a tournament where they're like a seven because they put in five or six scores that are just, aren't realistic. So, eight scores in your next 20 rounds or your last 20 rounds dictate your handicap. So I started to think about it. Well, what at the courses we play, what is our target numbers to stay at or to hit our goal, not to stay, to hit our goal. All right. My home course being Stone Lee, your home course basically being South Riding. I actually didn't do Pleasant Valleys, but we'll just stick with South Riding because I do think you play that maybe a couple fingers more than maybe a handful more. So if you played 20 rounds at South Riding, you need eight of them at what number do you think it is? What do you think you have to shoot there?
81.
All right. So at South Riding, in order to have a 9.4 handicap,
Oh, 9.4. Okay.
I know that's under, but that was just the calculator was easier.
I got you.
You would have to shoot 83.
I did that last year.
8 of the next 20 times.
Okay.
Okay. And your lowest score last year was a
83
in the whole year. So this.
Yes. 81. Yes. 83. 81 was the year before.
83. All right. So you would have to be an 83 if you did that 8 out of the next 20 times to have a 9.4 handicap.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, there's a chance. But so what I did is I took 8 courses that we tend to play or have played recently, and I wanted to show you what your numbers need to be in your next 20 rounds. Okay. Surprisingly, it was actually more doable than I thought. Now, this is not adding in our other goal. This is not putting you in any 70 rounds. I mean, obviously, if you were under those numbers, it's going to give you a better
shot.
What I did is I did everything for under a 10. It didn't mathematically always go to 9.9. So, I mean, you can't shoot an 83.4 or whatever. So that's why it's a 94. So at South Riding, you needed to shoot an 83. At Algonquin, to have a 9.2 differential, you would have to shoot an 81.
Did that.
At Stone Lee, to have a 9.5 differential, you'd have to have an 85.
Did that. I did that last year. Fished your brother.
What would you do this year? Oh, no, you should. It was a little bit higher. Okay. Hidden Creek, which I put on there, to have a 9.7, you have to shoot an 84.
Okay. Stuff for yourself.
When I did all the slope and ratings, it was kind of in the middle. It is a tough course. I'm not telling you that, but however they rate those things. For the Norman course at Lansdowne, since we've been getting to play with Brian on a member appreciation and you know, Shorty hooks us up quite a bit as well there too. To get a 9.2, you had to shoot an 83.
That's going to be a tough one.
That's a tough one. RTJ, which is actually rated a little bit easier than Norman, to have a 9.4 differential, you'd have to shoot an 82.
I will say, I don't know if that one's, in my head, I think that one plays harder than Norman.
So I've always thought it has played harder because it's a better layout. I think it's just a more fun layout to play, but we're really, Norman's pretty tight off the tee and everything. So,
but it's just everything straight ahead of you, really, for the most part.
Right in front of you. So, but yeah,
I guess Norman does have those. They have some really long par threes and really long par fives.
Yeah, they have that. Is it the longest mile in golf?
Yeah, but RTJ. RTJ's got a couple of holes that, I mean, you have to pick landing zones pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, and I like RT. If I had to go over there and choose, and they said which one you want to play, I'm playing RTJ.
Yeah.
Blue Ridge Shadows. Now,
I've had some blow ups on that course.
Well, that was probably rated one of the highest ones that we
really
played. Yeah. And I think it's one of those, one, they have a big gap in their tees. Like there's a tee at like 61 and then there's a tee at 68. Like there was nothing in the middle. And I think with our egos, we always come back to that 68 number because I don't know. But so one, that makes it difficult. The elevation change on a couple of holes make it very difficult. So to have a 9.5 at Blue Ridge, you'd have to have an 85.
Okay.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Same as Stone Lee. It actually came out to be the same as Stone Lee. And then I did Crow Creek, where you just won major number 2 at Crow Creek, which I actually thought wasn't that challenging, but it was a beach course, so it was a lot flatter than what we're used to. To have a 9.3, you had to have an 84.
Yeah, I didn't shoot that.
84. So that's 8 local courses. Really, the one I didn't hit there and I completely forgot was Pleasant Valley because we do like to play that course.
I'll have to look up Compass Point.
That's another one. Yeah, I'll send you the link that I used. It was kind of, all you needed was the slope, the rating, and then what you shot would give you your differential.
I will say maybe the
no, last, actually it was the opposite.
The you last 70s in, round that I had might have been at Compass Point.
It might have. You told me or Land O'Lakes.
Yeah, Land O'Lakes was 84.
The butter, yeah. The butter course.
The butter course.
So I taking that, I did go one step further for you, and I'll go through mine real quickly in a moment, but I did go one step further. What if you shot 79? The difference between what a 79 and whatever it would be to be that single digit handicap. So just to give you a couple of them, at South Riding, if you shot 79, instead of an 83 at a 9.4, 79 would make you a 6.0.
Oh,
yes. That dropped it a lot. That's 2.5 strokes. So 3.5 strokes. So Algonquian, it would have made you a 7.3. Let's just give you the bigger ones. Stone Lee, you shoot a 79, it's a 4.7.
I'd be pissing people off with that one.
Blue Ridge, 4.4.
If I shot a 79 at Blue Ridge, I'd probably just walk away.
Yeah, that's
my hands up.
One course.
My hands up and walk away.
I don't know if I've ever broken 80 there, but that's one course that I think I would be pretty stoked if I broke 80 there. So, but I do have all the ones, and I can tell you. But
another course if I broke 80 at would be Rock Harbor. All those blind tee shots and whatnot. I mean. Couldn't do it. I'd probably just be tickled pink and happy as a clam and walk my butt to my car and be, see you later.
I've been lucky there on one of their courses. I don't know what they call them now that they added in that. They had 9 and then they added in another 9 to have 36. But yeah, so honestly, when I was making this, I was like, wow, that's some low numbers. Definitely. It's a great year. It's a great, let's say 20 rounds.
That's what I'm looking for this year. I'm looking to have a great year.
But 20 rounds, that's probably 3.5 months. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, just realistically, it's you know, one round a week would be about 3 months. And we're probably in summer, we're able to get maybe a round or two in a week. So let's just say 4
sometimes
months.
Three. Depends on how many times. How many times Laura has a meeting?
Yeah. So on average, but yeah, I mean, so now you have some numbers that you can go after. Now I did mine for a 2.0 handicap and I don't know why I did 2 and not 3, but I just wanted to be under 3. So I think I was pretty close, but South Riding, I already went over the courses. So let me just tell you the scores because I think I would be pretty pumped in the next 20 rounds if I was putting up these numbers because I know that I would have a lot of other numbers with 7. So I would need these 8 rounds, 74, 73, 75, 74, 74, 73, 76, 75.
Well, that sounds like you're like mid-July last year.
I don't know if it was that extreme.
It was. Dude, every single time that it might have not been it wasn't a summer swing season portion of it.
Yeah.
Like every other round that you played was like, oh, you know, Brad just threw up a 77. Brad threw up a 76, 75, 74.
So like, I will say what did help me and even is helping me right now is I guess it was like 2 years ago, the USGA was able to incorporate 9 hole rounds. And then it also was able to incorporate, as long as this course was rated by the USGA, it took par three courses, and it took like executive type courses. And I had last year, I think I had a one
take
over
putt
round.
Putt courses.
Not putt putt. Not unless it's pop stroke.
I was about to say pop stroke in there.
I mean, I don't think I could break.
Got a rating of like 149 there.
I mean, could you break par at pop stroke? Honestly, break par?
Yes, you can putt through the sand traps.
I don't know, man. That course was hard.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that I might have been like one over, two over. No, it was three over, I think.
Yeah, that's not under par.
I understand, but that's the best round I had all weekend.
But I was able to, at Sterling's par three, I think I shot one over.
Classic.
One over one time. And then if you remember down it with Anthony, we played this par like...
Chichi Rodriguez,
like a 68. And
I think it was a par 70. And you shot 71.
No, I think it was a par 69 and I shot 70.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe it was. Because I remember thinking that you shot under par for the first time.
I know. Oh, well, I definitely set you up. Hey, just shot 70. I didn't say I broke par. So I was 1-0. I remember I parred 18, par 5, than I could have. It was so swampy and wet there. And the humidity was so ridiculous after rain. I don't know how we made it through that one. And that was they're on a school because it's a golf academy. And I remember that we weren't very excited because they didn't sell beverages. And Anthony, I was like, dude, we could just Uber to the gas station, right? It's right there. I was like, we can see the sign, but it was like highway to get there. I was like, I don't think we can walk. But we didn't end up doing that. So, but my big one that I took away is if I want to be a two, I got to be under 75 at Stoneleigh. So it's 75 puts me in a 1.5 differential. So if I could consistently go out there and shoot mid 70s at my home course, I could get close. And I've had some good rounds. I think my best round ever is a 74 there, mm-hmm. but I have put up a handful of 75, 76s. And I mean, with the one major we did last year where I think I went 76 plus a valley, 75 Stoneleigh. That was two very, I mean, that's good golf back-to-back rounds, really good golf. So, but it was just interesting to listen to the numbers and to see what we actually need going into those courses. I know I always like, I check it after the fact, but I actually last week, if you remember when I told you I shot a 35 from the Reds, the differential on that was a 5.7.
Really?
Yeah, it actually isn't even in my top eight. So I shot a subpar round on 9 holes, but being from the Reds, it didn't count. Maybe it is one of my eight. It's got to be one of my eight. That's pretty low. You know, I'm sitting at a 4.4 right now, so I've climbed a little bit, but it's what it is right now. The summer is going to be
time for the grind.
A lot of golf out there, especially now that the two really want to play. They're going to be dragging me over.
It'll be like easy daddy daycare.
Hopefully they'll be dragging me over there. I will tell them they will have to start working for carts because they like to drive.
I mean, who doesn't?
I know, but it's nice to go up there and say, hey, I'm walking, and you don't have to give anything up. They just say, okay, great, have a great round, you know, since I've already paid for it.
I don't know. I want to join a country club and be like, Mr. Papa Giorgio, here's your car.
Well, you can't have your own carts out here. That's the only thing. Although on Mondays you can. I saw that today, a couple of people, because the course is technically closed, except for walkers. And I guess people with their own golf carts were driving around.
That's what you got to do. You sold the four-wheeler, might as well buy. Yeah. Buy the golf cart for transport back and forth. You're driving right by eight and up nine and good to go.
It would be easy. It does take longer to drive there than it does the walk there.
Get just because I have to go around. Off-road tires on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be good to go. Yeah. Just make it a four-seater with straps on the back.
I think that's what I see most people. Trying to talk my dad into getting a new one, not necessarily just to have his old one, which would be nice. But I think if he had a newer one that was electric, he would probably use it more. The gas is a pain.
My mom says it's too loud.
It is, but man, have you seen the cost of the batteries? Because you got to have like 3 or 4 batteries in there.
Yeah. She charges it in the garage.
I know, but if they go bad, the batteries are like $300 each. It's not like a car battery.
Yeah, but the electric golf carts that people are buying at this retirement community is like $10,000 to $15,000.
Yeah, Oh yeah, it's a small car.
Well,
what cars used to cost, not what exactly. Cars cost now. Cars now are ridiculous. I do not look forward to the next time we'd have to buy a car because both of ours are paid off. I think same as yours. I do not want to do that. I do not. Although my mower did not work the other day, which is not a small mower either. You've seen my Porsche.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big boy.
I got a call to see what that's going to cost. We think that might be time for a replacement. It's at like 1,700 hours, which is like 1,000 hours more than when. That's why you get them used at that amount, because that's the time the commercial places get rid of them. Between 1,000 hours, and I think I bought it around 600 or 700 hours. But when Anthony and I were working a lot, we put some hours in it that summer during COVID, made that little extra money. So, so there we got some goals. I tell you what, I should have done is I should have put Penn National on there.
Oh, that would have been a solid one too.
Yeah, but maybe one.
It's going to be hard. I mean, I don't really think that. I think it's going to go back to me not tracking a score pretty much the entire weekend.
No, I didn't. I don't remember me tracking anything. I did think that was pretty cool that Grant has you can put in the Ryder Cup
style.
And then it can also have you put in.
Well, we used something else last year. I can't remember what it was, but.
It was. You had to have that code on it. But nobody used it. So.
Yeah.
That was the problem. I think if you can get Grint, being that it has a really good GPS system, like map on it, at least one person in your group is going to probably have it. So this weekend, Sunday, we are headed up to Fayetteville, Pennsylvania.
Outside of Gettysburg, Chambersburg area.
It's in that direction, and we are headed to Penn National, playing two of the higher rated courses in Pennsylvania. I couldn't tell you the number. I don't have my brother here. He would know exactly what they're ranked in Pennsylvania, but
He's probably going to be on the tee box telling us the origination of the, the name, why it's called there's a tree over there that was pissed on by George Washington at one point.
He will have all that information.
He will. And I can tell you the truth, I'm going to be there for it for about 35 minutes, having a beer and listening to him.
Oh, he will give it to you. And he'll even tell you the surrounding courses. He probably even knows what battles took place in the Civil War, right?
Gettysburg.
Well, we're not in Gettysburg. We're outside that area.
Maybe the Gettysburg Address was there right before Honest Abe teed off. I bet Honest Abe was a stick. Him being long and lanky that, he was already an undefeated. He was an undefeated wrestler, so you might as well think that he could
hit it pretty far.
I bet
he could hit it pretty far. I bet. We're headed up that way, and one thing we always talk about is being ready and prepared for golf trips. It sounds like we are staying in a hotel. It's got
a gym. That.
Has enough for us to be able to get a couple, at least warm up type things, and maybe not full out.
I'm thinking 300.
Whew, man, I haven't done that in a while.
I know.
But we'll do. Maybe we can get some people to tag on with us and get us going. But I'm excited about it, and I know Greg's already started packing.
I'm not excited at all.
Not excited at all. The first announcements of tee times and playing partners have been announced. But we'll save all that for our next episode when we kind of dig deep into the trip itself. Maybe looking to add some little bit of audio from the trip. We're still in the works on that. We got a lot of guys going down. 32 of us, two 16-man teams. We are back on Uncle E's team. Do you switch teams? Or are you kind of?
I've seen people switch teams before, but it doesn't happen often. Yeah. I think most of them kind of. I think if you float in and out of the trip, possibly. But
yeah, makes sense. So 16 people playing four rounds, three partner team-based rounds and then a singles match on the last day. The only difference really from this year to last year is outside we're going somewhere different, starting on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a little bit, but it probably was the best value to get everybody there and the most availability on a golf course. Cause when you start bringing in that many people, that's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of tee times that they have to give up. So, looking forward to it. And, I know you sent me something today that we talked about trying to read on here to talk about why it's important to go on golf trips.
Yeah. I mean, this jumped out at me. I actually saved this the other day and I was actually going to repost it on our social medias because it spoke to me when I read it. And
I love it.
Then when you kind of hit me up with, you know, I don't know what game I'm bringing and blah, blah, this, and oh, you know, everything's performance based, but this is,
well, hold on. It's not performance based. You just,
you don't want to embarrass yourself, but I mean, hey, I did that last year. You know, somebody else can do it this year. Not our group.
I think for last year, I don't know what round it was, but the four of us playing, now he didn't play because he was hurt last year, put him right down the middle, and there was two people there, and one was like, man, this group's good, and Fur's like, yeah, Botter's the most competitive person I've ever met in my life. I was like, dude, come on. I'm not. But if you're going to do something, you got to at least go out there and try to do it right.
Yes.
I
mean, yes.
I'm not going out there to finish second.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not worth winning if you can't win big. I mean, let's go Mighty Ducks or, you know, you gotta hate to lose more than you love to win. I mean, yeah. I got these all day if you want to keep hearing them. But yes, I sent you this and I think it spoke to me and it basically speaks to golfers all over the place. This, I actually stole this from Zire Golf. So I will shout them out, like props to you guys. So this is called the golf trip. You call it a buddy's trip. But it's more than that. It's escape, disguised as tradition, a brief, beautiful surrender. You pack too much, eat whatever's open after midnight, drink things you probably shouldn't, and somehow feel more alive than you have in months. Sleep is optional. Regret is part of the routine. But out there, something shifts. You're not a job title, not someone's crisis manager, not the person who always has to have their stuff together. You're just you, finally, with people who get it. You've seen the best and worst of you and still want to tee it up with you again tomorrow. The jokes are inside. The breakfast orders are aggressive. You pick up right where you left off, like time doesn't apply out there. The golf is good, or it's awful, but that's not the point. The point is the silence on the tee box. The howl of laughter after a shank. The swing you'll talk about all year. The feeling you wish you could bottle. Because life wears you down, quietly, without asking. And this ridiculous, beautiful ritual, it gives you something back. Not because of the game, but because of who you get to be while playing it. Free, unfiltered, and present. This is not just golf. This is a return to yourself, to your people, to what actually matters. Tingles in the loins, baby.
If that don't get you fired up, Oh, yeah. So can't wait. Less than a week. Hopefully we'll get some good audio for everybody. But check us out next time. When we return, we will recap the cup, talk about Jen's cup. Hopefully have a big announcement that we're looking to come up with. We've got
hopefully
some
playing. Hopefully have another win for Team E.
Team E. Also going to start talking a little bit about some potential competitions we have coming up. Maybe not just against us, but maybe some things we've entered ourselves into. What we're doing to get better as we keep moving forward. All right. Greg, make sure you pack up. Pack more than you need to.
Always
make sure we're ready to go. And, man, can't wait. Couple days away. Check everybody next time.